go to securefreedomradio.org today. It's your freedom. It's your country. Frank Gaffney's Secure Freedom Radio.
We're back. We're taking stock of what on earth has gone on in 2014 in the national security space, broadly defined. Our guest is Bill Gertz, one of the country's truly insightful and honest reporters of what is going on. He writes for the Washington Free Beacon as its senior editor and also for the Washington Times. He's written six terrific books, many of them bestsellers. He is a frequent guest on this program, I'm glad to say, and elsewhere. Bill, we've now sort of set the stage for kind of the capstone of this conversation with you. And again, I appreciate so much your time. Having heard what you've said about China and the threat that it represents in 2015 and beyond, and what the Russians are up to, not least, of course, their belligerence towards their neighbors and their threats even against us, the other characters on the planet, from North Korea to the Iranians, the Islamists more generally, talk now, if you would, about what kinds of things the United States must do to protect itself, in addition to the point you've just made, which is so well taken, that we need to think about a counter-ideological strategy and information operations capabilities. But you cover the Pentagon very well. You've followed it closely for many years. Maybe we could start with what we'd best be doing in light of what you've just said with respect to our nuclear deterrent forces.
Well, as we've highlighted the growing threats around the world, both strategic nuclear and conventional, those threats, in my view, are compounded by severe problems within the U.S. nuclear complex. We have an aging system. Many of the weapons are 50 years old. We've patched them together and upgraded them and modernized them. But because of the anti-nuclear sentiment and policies of the Obama administration, the modernization is taking too long, and it's really undermining the entire deterrent. The whole idea of a nuclear deterrent is that the other forces, the other countries that have nuclear weapons, shouldn't even consider a nuclear strike without facing total annihilation. That calculus is being severely undermined by the lack of modernization. This was a deal reached by in Congress in 2010 when we agreed to the New START Arms Treaty that some $50 billion needed to be invested in our nuclear forces. They're starting to do that, but we're way behind schedule, and we have a president and had a Secretary of Defense that have basically favor total nuclear disarmament. So when the top leader sends that message, it makes it very difficult for the government to pursue this much-needed nuclear modernization program.
Well, in point of fact, just isn't, as best I can tell, certainly not with respect to the core of it, which is to say the nuclear weapons themselves and the infrastructure that's required to support them. Bill, matters are made worse, and you've done really terrific reporting on this, by the arms control agenda of the Obama administration, even in the face of violations of existing treaties by the Russian government. Talk about how that fits into this problem that you've just characterized.
If I were to say the one failure, utter failure of the Obama administration has been to adopt these arms control-centered national security policies. And to me, the most significant setback for those policies was the formal declaration this year in a State Department annual report that Russia was in violation of the 1987 Intermediate Range Nuclear Forces Treaty. Now, this is significant because, and the violation involves the development of a new long-range cruise missile. The 87 treaty basically did away with all missiles, cruise and ballistic missiles, with ranges between 500 kilometers and 5,000 kilometers. And it basically kept those nuclear missiles out of Europe. It now appears that Russia is preparing to move nuclear weapons into occupied Crimea, and they're developing this new long-range cruise missile, which violates the INF treaty. Turns out, according to members of Congress, that the Obama administration covered up this violation for years, and they deliberately covered it up in order to promote their arms control-centered agenda.
Specifically to sell the New START treaty, which compounded the problems that you've just described. Bill, this is troubling. It's made worse yet again by what we're seeing done to the conventional forces of the United States. The Obama administration inherited a military that had been at war for a long time, but was relatively fit and well-equipped. We've now had 6 years of budget cuts and programmatic slippage or outright cancellations. How would you characterize the condition of the U.S. conventional forces at this point? And what do we need to be doing on that score?
I would say it's a crisis. The readiness of U.S. military forces are strained, really at the breaking point, and it's because of a combination of things. One is the sequestration funding cuts, which are leading to about $1 trillion in defense cuts. This is going to be the signature failure of the Obama administration, to cut $1 trillion from defense at a time when the military forces are in urgent need of conventional force recapitalization. New trucks, new tanks, new equipment, they're going to have to be replaced. Everything that now is online now is becoming obsolete. It's compounded further by the recent conflicts in Iraq and Afghanistan. The equipment is being used up. So it's kind of the perfect storm of military really weakness would be the way to describe it. But those forces are in urgent need of modernization as well, just like our nuclear forces.
I worry, Bill Gertz, that we're looking at the breaking of the all-volunteer force, if we're not really careful here. And, you know, there's a lot of talk at the moment about the president's legacy. This may well be his most serious legacy, most damning. And I'm reminded of something Vice President Cheney said a while back when he said that he personally called President Reagan to thank him for bequeathing to the George H.W. Bush administration, in which Cheney served as Secretary of Defense, as you remember, and thanked him for bequeathing, as I say, the military that enabled Operation Desert Storm to be performed so swiftly and so well. And he said no future president or secretary of defense is going to be calling Barack Obama to thank him for what he has bequeathed. Bill Gertz, let me turn finally to that issue of asymmetric warfare. You've described a number of threat vectors from our adversaries in domains like cyber warfare, perhaps against our grid or space. How are we doing in those domains? And again, what should we be doing instead?
Well, we are definitely developing cyber warfare capabilities. I think the Stuxnet computer virus, which was used to sabotage Iranian nuclear centrifuges, illegally constructed centrifuges, which are still in operation, was a good starting point. But I believe that operation was not part of the Obama administration. Unfortunately, the Obama administration has announced publicly that they're taking a so-called passive approach. They're trying to develop an international agreement that everybody will play nice in cyberspace. Unfortunately, what happens with those agreements is the U.S. abides by them, and as we've seen on the case of Russia, other states will not abide by them. So I remember the testimony from Admiral Rogers, the cyber command, who said we really need to do something, a demonstration, a show of force in cyberspace. Otherwise, we're going to continue to be attacked, and the attacks are going to be more dangerous. But we are developing that capability. It's very much intelligence-centered at this point. It's not so much military. They're working on that through the development of cyber command.
Bill, we are out of time. I know that space is another area that you're concerned about. We're not doing nearly enough, but that's a subject for another day. You've given us a lot to think about, both in terms of the character of the challenges that arose during 2014 and that we can only pray a new Congress under new leadership and hopefully an administration that will respond constructively to their initiatives will take charge and move out in 2015. Bill, we'll be tracking it very closely with your good help each week here at Secure Freedom Radio. Thank you for the work you do at the Washington Free Beacon and, of course, at the Washington Times. I hope the rest of you will be joining us as well. Again, Monday, same time, same station. Until then, this is Frank Gaffney. Thanks for listening.
From the nation's capital, you've been listening to Secure Freedom Radio with Frank Gaffney.